So thank you so much, Wilbur. It's been great. If you feel like it, come on over, come on over to KBOO and we'll go hang out. And I got Calvin Acosta here too. Is
Oh, you got Calvin. All
yeah,
right.
he's kind of came in late, so I wasn't able to get him on the mic. But yay! So let's all get together anyway. This is not of great interest to those others of you listening. Thank you so much for being on the show, Wilbur, and hope to have you back on. And this is Wednesday Talk Radio. My name is Paul Rowland. John Trudell, Saturday, 6 p.m., Waterfront Park. Check it out with Bad Dog. That's what you're hearing right now.
Been living with a fugitive inside of us. Like Buffalo Wild under a buffalo sun. Running in a closing in, maddened world. Racing against the predators of spirit. In facing off with progress's addictions, civilized destruction's wanting habits, polite or violent, whatever it takes, with guns and laws and truth that lies. Domesticating the natural for harvest, threatened by what nature made free, with civilized rational aggressions, wreaking blood havoc, and no feeling of tomorrow or the ancient. In the plunderings of all our relations, the business of collateral damage, profiteering maximized in the carnage, running in a closing in, maddened world, like Buffalo Wild.
Good morning. It is just a few seconds past 9 a.m. You are tuned to KBOO Portland, and coming up at 9, coming right up, Political Perspectives with host Lisa Loving. Today, she speaks with Duncan Berry of Fish People Seafood about certified B corporations and the movement of people using business as a force of good. At 9:30, economist Richard Wolff interviews Professor Harry Konstantinidis about the ongoing crisis in Greece. At 11, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, a look at this past weekend's horrific bombing in Turkey. Also, an extended report on the battle of the so-called comfort women of Korea to have their suffering internationally recognized. And at 11 on The Dirtbag, host Glenn Andresen and guest Jim Gilbert talk about planting garlic and cover crops. And after the rain comes, and transplanting just about anything. So you'll want to stay tuned for that everything this morning on KBOO. And thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you are not a member, you can become one. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Red Umbrella film series hosted by the Clinton Street Theater. This month, Inside Her Sex will be shown Sunday, October 18th at 7 p.m. While we live in a highly sexualized society, the messaging around female sexuality is distorted and rife with shame. Inside Her Sex is a thought-provoking, feature-length documentary that explores female sexuality and shame through the eyes and experiences of three women. Again, that's Inside Her Sex at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at cstpdx.com/schedule. It's 9:03. You're listening to KBOO Community Radio. I'm Lisa Loving, and this morning we're talking about B
benefit corporations. It's an alternative business model growing around the nation. Oregon has more than any other state. The Bee Benefit Corporation movement is having a great big convention here in Oregon this week. They're offering bee-inspired talks, a fair, and even a live show with Ural Thomas at Pioneer Square tomorrow night. But we're live in Studio B with Duncan Berry. His company is Fish People.
Indeed.
Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Duncan, a lot of our listeners are big fans of alternative business. But we also, at KBOO, because we're such an alternative community, we have a love-hate relationship with business too. And a lot of our listeners, they hate capitalism. They just do. Not all. But it's something you hear discussed in the hallways of this building. And so I had to ask, what is this movement for B corporations? And what are you doing in it?
Well, you know, I think of business as elected officials for a consumer. And one of our hallmarks of our company is a different relationship with the sea. And agencies and tribes and NGOs have been working on the oceans for years and years and years. And there's been somebody missing at the table, and that's the consumer. So in our case, we're enlisting the consumer as a consumer activist, if you will, and engaging them in work that really is in the past has been largely nonprofit work. And so we sometimes smile as a B Corp and say we're really a sheep in wolf's clothing, and that we're doing much of the same work that has been done by non-capitalist structures for years, and especially when there's large populations like consumers that need companies to do that work with them. And so one of the things we often talk about is putting people inside the brand with us.
So I want to read a little bit from the mission statement of the B Corporation organization, because this surprises me. I was at a press conference last year in Oregon where maybe it was even longer ago, the former Secretary of State, Kate Brown, had actually ushered through an official business certification through the state of Oregon for a B Benefit Corporation. And there were tons of businesses there. It was like every business that you wish that you had already knew was out there. They were making candy, ice cream, fishing, making clothes. It was so interesting. It was like seeing the part of our extended community that we don't really look at very often. So this is the way the organization, I'm just going to read this because it really surprised me. So there's a big event this week. Certified B Corporations are leading a movement of people using business as a force for good. A global community of over 1,400 companies from over 40 countries and 120 industries, all with one unifying goal: to redefine success in business so one day all businesses compete to better the world, not just increase profit. And when I saw that coming out of the state government, I freaked out a little bit. but let's get down to it. What is your business? What do you do? What does Fish People do? And how does the bee business model benefit you?
So Oregon is a coastal state, and we have the great good fortune of having beautiful oceans off our shores. And one of the things that we looked at, and I live at the ocean. I live at Cascade Head, and I'm part of a fishing community. I was a commercial fisherman when I was young over the Columbia River Bar. And what I've seen over the years is that we've been, well, I really call the coastline, our coastline's a third world country, because by income they technically are. What happens is we have extracted, just like we do from third world countries as a first world country, resources, and without necessarily adding any value. So what we said is the world doesn't need another seafood company. When we founded this company and made it a B Corporation, we said it needs a different kind of seafood company. And so that difference is, one, it's a relationship first with those that live in the ocean. How can we maintain a relationship with them that's sustaining? Because we're not going to stop eating seafood. So how can we do so in a sustainable manner? But also the human communities. And so what we focused on is, how can we add value and keep the value of our, or leverage the value of our natural resources by keeping the dollars here? Interesting fact, 90% of the seafood we catch here goes somewhere else. Here's another really weird 90%. 90% of the seafood we eat is imported. And we just went, wait, that's crazy. That's crazy math. And so what we do is we create a product that's ready to eat. We have it all over almost every store in Portland and throughout Oregon. And now from sea to shining sea, we're a nationally distributed product. And what we do is we for time-starved people, we create meals that are shelf-stable that have beautiful Oregon albacore, Chinook salmon, pink shrimp, Dungeness crab, all those things that we love so much and that are sustainably harvested. And what we basically do is take all the effort out of and smell and bones and everything else out of preparing seafood and allow you to have omega-3s and beautiful natural flavors very, very quickly, literally within minutes. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing.
Let me ask you this. It sounds amazing. I love food. But how did you personally, as a business person, come to this idea that you wanted to take what we often see as the typical capitalist business? I don't want to turn this into like a Marxism discussion per se, but we're talking about values in a way.
Yes.
And what struck me about the B Corporation certification that Kate Brown put together, that the state of Oregon offers now, a lot of people are going for that. Mm. And at first, the critics say, well, what is that for? You know, it doesn't do anything. Mm. That's just a bunch of foo-foo, more money wasting by the state. But when I started talking to the company owners, people such as yourself, they were so excited about it because people, it's almost like truth and labeling. That's really what it was. And I'm not going to say it's necessarily a marketing aspect, but it definitely was just a flag on the product saying, this company does something different with our profits. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, we as humans have values, all of us, some more than others. But one of the criticisms of capitalist structures has been they don't have values. They don't have conscience. So really what we're doing is we're reflecting humanity. We call it humanizing commerce. Right? So we're reflecting the same values that we hold with our families and our communities in our business. It's sort of a duh, especially for Oregon. To me, it's like B Corp should have been created here. We should have been the first state to adopt that. I'm surprised we're like, I don't know what we were, 30th or whatever. But all it is an extension of, for me personally, the reason I jumped in is that I think integrity is the definition of how your actions align with your values and your beliefs. And if we're out of alignment or out of our integrity in our business, that's stressful. And I think the 21st century, all companies are moving this direction. B Corps are the future of business. If we don't act more like NGOs and have a conscience, and if NGOs don't act more like businesses who are logistically wizards at what they do on the planet physically, we're not going to make it.
You know what strikes me about it is it reminds me of when I was a kid in my hometown, which is Fremont, California, and there were all kinds of small businesses that we cherished because we knew that they gave back. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And it makes me, again, I want to ask you, as a business person, can you talk a little bit about the evolution of your own, I don't know, experience as a business person?
Sure.
How did you, at what point did you look around at what you were doing and see that maybe the whole trajectory of where we're going with the corporate sector in the United States is not so healthy? How did you come to that realization?
There's a woman named Joanna Macy. I don't know if you're familiar with her, but she's one of the founders of the Deep Ecology Movement. And I took a workshop from her in the 90s. And she said, she introduced me to a Buddhist principle, which is right livelihood. She said, just look deeply at the roots of where your income comes from and your activities as a business person. And so I was in the cotton industry at the time, in the apparel and fashion industry. And I went and took a little picnic lunch out to sit in a cotton field and found out it was basically people were wearing clean suits and it was an industrial zone. And so I created my first values-based company, which was, I was either going to exit the company and leave this really beautiful industry and this beautiful company I built, or, and Paul Hawken, who's another influence on me, said, Duncan, you can impale yourself on the ramparts, you can start an NGO, whatever whatever for the cause, or you can walk through the door and talk to the kings and queens, who are in many ways today, whether you like it or not, the CEOs of major companies. They logistically and in physically control a great deal of the resources on this planet. So if we don't make change there, again, we won't make it through the tunnel. And so Right Livelihood has driven me towards not only a green cotton company and an organic cotton company at large scale, but then I've I'm a failed retiree. I retired to the Oregon coast, sold my companies, retired to the Oregon coast, and saw a lot of the people that I grew up with as a youth fishing now, and that this industry was not what it should be. It's iconic and beautiful and deep, and it's really another planet, right? The oceans are another planet. And we, for instance, in one of our products, the albacore tuna in it is worth 5 times as much in our pouch as it is in a freezer truck headed for China. That's just good business. That's sensible business.
Now, you said that about, were you born on the coast? Are you from
the coast? I was, yeah. I was born in the Clatsop Plains, Gearhart.
Plains. Mm-hmm. I was just there with my family last year, and we were in a tiny small town, and it was the home of a fishing fleet, and it had this beautiful beachfront memorial to all the fishermen, the Dory fleet, that's what it was. Yes. And I had no idea there was this deep history here. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just a history, though. There were all these young people of all ages, who now work in that industry, and I never, yes, ever hear people celebrating them or talking about them.
Yes.
What happened? I mean, what changed in this country? Because, I mean, I was already saying, every time we think, oh, I miss the good old days, there really were never any good old days. But we do have sort of a shared value that reaches across class and race as well, of linchpin businesses in our community that help everybody succeed. And I even recently saw a study that said that African American owned businesses in Black communities around the United States, the more there are, the less street violence there is. It was pretty fascinating. Talk a little bit about that. Why is this movement to strengthen communities, because that's what I hear you saying, why is that so, why is it important that businesses are part of that? Why, what is the root of healthy communities? I want to say morally healthy, like our values of supporting each other in progressive values. Why is that, should that be on the table of the business community?
Well, I think we both know the answer to that question.
I think
really, it's pretty, but I think it's an interesting one, because I'll give you a very tangible example. We were just honored with the NEXTY Award, which is in our food industry awarded to those that are on the edge of what they believe is the next really strongest movement in an industry like food. And the reason they gave us the award was our traceability. So we can trace all our fish back to the vessel level, to the captains, to the locations where they're caught, the methods by which they're caught. And for the last some odd million years, we have been either the ones catching or growing our food, or as time went by, we, in an agrarian society, we knew the people in the valley we lived in. Right? It's only been in the last couple of generations where we've industrialized food. And I think there's something very innate in our genes to want to understand the context for something that 3 times a day, I mean, eating is very intimate, right? So 3 times a day, we put something into our bodies and reincarnate it into a human being. And we believe there's a very innate connection with our food, that if you can, even on an industrial scale, connect people back to what they're eating, and that it affects that, the if they plunk down $5 and buy one of our fillets, that it actually helps a gentleman's son in Alaska go to Cal Poly and get an education in engineering. You know, this is a web, and it really is connected whether we can see it or not. So the importance of B Corps, the importance of things like our traceability initiative, is to connect people and understand there's impact, and that when you purchase something, it has a deep influence on the communities you're in. So back to the keeping the value in the community is, wouldn't we all rather see our wood made into furniture or our fish made into meals than selling it at rock bottom to other countries that reap the benefit of our natural resources there, people we don't know, people that don't speak our languages, that we will never be engaged with. So to me, there's a beauty in the cyclical nature of, I want to say, like a farmer's market taken to scale. So we have a program that's a national program in 2,800 stores where you can hold a piece of fish and meet the person who caught it, and suddenly we've replicated, almost a farmer's market-like relationship. Not exactly, but as close as you can come on a national scale, I think that is the future of food, and it builds community very strongly.
You're listening to KBOO Community Radio. I'm Lisa Loving. This morning we're talking about bee benefit corporations. It's an alternative business model growing around the nation. Oregon, from what I understand, has more than any other state. And the bee benefit corporation movement is having a great big convention here in Oregon this week. And we're live in the studio with Duncan Berry. His company is Fish People, and he's going to be at that convention. If you're sitting near some sort of a screen that you can interact with, the website is really interesting, bcorporation.net. It's just the letter B, corporation.net. There's a lot on there. And I know that in our KBOO community, we've got a lot of business people. There's something about United States culture, I think, where people dream of having their own business. I think it's just a kind of a common value. My dad really wanted to have his own business, but, you know, he never did. He actually made little little picnic tables that you put your ketchup and mustard in, which was cool. But there's something about business, there's something about alternative business, and the kinds of real I want to say legacy sorts of companies that you're talking about, Duncan, you know, the fisheries, we're talking about the farms. As I was watching this convention last year, or it was a press conference where Kate Brown basically trotted out the results of the first year of having Oregon State's B Corporation certification program, they were surprised at how many people participated. Can you just list real quick, like how many other, just what are some of the other industries, companies, subject matters that are your colleagues do within this movement? Give us a sense of how wide it is, because I was surprised by it.
Yeah. So I think that it is part of Oregon's DNA to have values-based businesses and be a little different, right? So the businesses that I'm familiar with, and I recently served on a panel with, ranged anywhere from software to recycling products into personal bags and other sort of very, very intimate things that you carry with you. There's builders, there's financial institutions. One thing I'll say about it is those that are in the business of making things, as we are, it's a little more challenging in that whoever said that it's wishy-washy or doesn't have much rigor should sit with us and fill out our audit that we have to do a couple times. Well, we've done it a couple times. It's every 2 years in order to qualify as a B Corporation. And they'll see there's very rigorous bars that you have to leap in terms of social and environmental practices, anywhere from energy to the amount of money that's made by the lowest paid employee to the highest paid employee. There's a lot of very rigorous qualifications. Again, when you make something, it becomes even more difficult because of these guidelines. One thing I will say is that a B Corporation is just a foundation upon which you build a house. The house you build is your own. The foundation is been beautifully built and is very progressive, but it's up to us to create wonderful structures on top of them.
What do you think about the B Benefit Corporation guidelines that the state established? Are they hard enough? Are they rigorous? Are they too hard? Are there some that they should put in there? I know I'm asking you a hot button question, but I am curious. A lot of people, again, KBOO, the people listening right now, this is a unique bubble of community in Oregon and in Southwest Washington and the Columbia Gorge. Mm-hmm. It's people that bring a lot of knowledge to issues of alternative business. Mm-hmm. And so I know they're going to want, they won't trust what the state does. Mm-hmm. So if you have a sense of whether that's, whether it works for you or whether you respect that process, I bet people would love to hear about that.
Well, I think B-Lab, really, the creators of this movement, it came out of business. In fact, it came out of an apparel and shoe business. It's an outgrowth of people who wanted to meld their values with their activities. It's a little bit like church, right? You go to church, you suddenly become very focused on things of lasting value, and then bam, you're back out into life and work, and sometimes there's a dissonance there. I think what this movement's trying to do. And B-Lab, I don't, you know, the state's pretty much just adopted the platform.
Right.
They haven't created it per se. They've adopted it. And so what it allows us is to say, okay, do I want to live by the foundational rules or not? Do I think I can meet those rules? Do I resonate with them? Do they resonate with my own personal values? And then again, back to building the house on top of it, I think the most important thing is what we create out of that foundation. We've taken this in completely different directions than I think any other company, any other bee company has in regards to seafood, for instance. It would appeal to Oregonians in that it's very adaptive, very flexible, but at the heart of it is creating conscious commerce.
So now let me ask you this. We're starting to run out of show. I'm going to go through all the events and the people that are going to be there at this Be Inspired Talks tomorrow at the Crystal Ballroom. But so tomorrow it's almost like TED Talks, except I think it's for alternative businesses. So, and that's totally open to the public. What kind of person should get involved with the Be Inspired Talks? What kind of person do you think would benefit by bringing their vision to your movement?
Anybody that drives a car, lives in a house, eats food. I mean, literally, this is it's not just a catchphrase. This is the future of business. Again, if businesses don't develop conscience and values and practice them, one difference I would make between this and a TED Talk is TED Talks are often people off doing something individually, or there's a concept that they're putting into practice. To me, this is the rubber meeting the road in the most tangible way, and that is people organizing structures called businesses to do good and to serve consumers that have conscience. So the best thing you could do is bring your values and your conscience, be very vocal about them, and be a consumer activist, right? And support these companies that are trying to do something different and move business into a new space.
All right. And I'm just going to wrap up right now and go through all of the things that are happening at this event tomorrow. It's Be Inspired, Be Involved, Be a Better Business, Be the letter B. So they just got BBB going on, although it's not the Better Business Bureau, which does wonderful work, I have to say. They've revived as well. Keep your eye on them. So this is October 15th. It's going to be at the Crystal Ballroom from 2:30 to 6 p.m. Bee Talks, hear how bee corporate leaders from around the world are using their unique experiences in life to build bridges towards a more shared and durable prosperity. It's hosted by Eric Friedenwald Fishman from the Metropolitan Group. It's interesting to me to see where this is like alternative meeting a corporate interface there. So speakers include Perry Chen, the founder of Kickstarter, Wendy Cawley, she's the CEO of New Seasons Markets, Reese Powell, the president and founder of Red Rabbit, Charmian Love from Volens, Kevin Trapani from the Redwoods Group, Adria Powell, executive vice president of Cooperative Home Care Associates, David Griswold, president and founder of Sustainable Harvest, and Maya Rocky Moore, president and founder of Global Policy Solutions from Baltimore. So this is at the Crystal Ballroom tomorrow, 2:30 to 6 p.m. There is a small charge for the tickets. It's not very much. I'm putting that out. And then the Street Fest on Pioneer Square starts at 6. It goes from 6 to 8 p.m. A street festival at Pioneer Square with B Corp companies from all over the world. And they're going to have samples and stuff like that. Ben and Jerry's samples, Hopworks Urban Brewery samples. I'm just saying you might want to be there. And so after that is the concert with Ural Thomas, which I believe starts at 8. So if you want any more information, we're going to take you over to bcorporation.net. Duncan, any last words? Anything, last thing people should know, most important thing people should know about B Corporations and this event this week?
I think that B Corps really are just, again, elected representatives for you as a consumer, and that it's... if we can converge the modern consumer with business structures, there shouldn't be any difference. It shouldn't be an us and them. You should be inside these businesses and driving them to and encouraging them to, again, change the structure of capitalism to a values-based, conscious-based future.
All right. And we're just going to leave it there. Thanks for listening. More on B businesses at bcorporation.net. That's just the letter B. Duncan's business is fishpeople.com. Do, like he said, pick up something by Joanna Macy and stay tuned for Political Perspectives.
KABU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Voices in Action, Human Rights on Film, a series sponsored by Northwest Film Center. October 2nd through November 5th are the dates. While cinema provides entertainment and escape for many committed filmmakers and viewers, it's a vital medium of engagement and a powerful tool for social action. Films in the series include 50 Feet from Syria, Dreamcatcher, No Land's Song, and We Come as Friends. Again, that's Voices in Action, Human Rights on Film from October 2nd to November 5th at the Northwest Film Center in the Whitzel Auditorium of the Portland Art Museum, located at 1219 Southwest Park Avenue here in Portland. More information about films and screening times can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And now we will go to economist Richard Wolff.
I am very, very pleased to introduce to you my guest, Harry Konstantinidis. Harry, I've known him for years. He's an assistant professor of economics at the University of Massachusetts in Boston. But he is also a person of Greek background, intimately involved with and knowledgeable about the developments in Greece for the last period of time. His primary research interests lie in political economy, with particular emphasis on agriculture and the environment, and with a broad focus both on Greece, but Greece in the context of the European situation.